and the Holy Spirit. So, dear friends, we continue our walk through the book of 1 Samuel in our first reading. Of course, I want to encourage you to read the book of 1 Samuel. It's a beautiful book. It reads almost like a small novella. It was professionally written, we know, by royal courtiers, men trained in literature. King David wanted the account to be beautiful. And so you can pick up the book of 1 Samuel and find a nice, casual read. In fact, oftentimes people have picked it up and they said, wow, I was halfway through and I didn't even realize. Again, it's beautifully written. It's powerful stories, accounts, pivotal events in salvation history. It's the ninth book in the Old Testament, ninth book of the Bible, and it's one of the 14 narrative books. So I encourage you, please be sure that you're reading 1 Samuel. If you're not reading anything from the scriptures, this is a good book to pick up. As you can tell, it's one of my favorite books of the scriptures. We have some of our most powerful events, events that we studied about when we were children, that are contained in the book of 1 Samuel. People are oftentimes shocked how many of those biblical stories from our childhood are actually in this one book. So yesterday we spoke about Samuel's mother, Hannah. Remember that holy woman? She was wailing and crying and asking God to heal her, asking for this miracle. She said, if you give me a son, I'll dedicate him to your service. And God blessed her with a son. And what did she do? She said, oh, you know, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to keep him. Or actually what I said was this, but really what I meant was this. Right? Did she equivocate? No. Did she go back on her promise to God? No. She took a vow and she honored it. And it broke her heart. When the boy was old enough, Hannah, his mother, took Samuel to the temple and dedicated him through the Nazarite vow in order to be consecrated and to do the work of the Lord. This is why we see little Samuel today sleeping in the temple, because he was given there to the priest by his mother. Now, it's very endearing. We're told in other parts of 1 Samuel that Hannah would come every year in order to visit with her son and would bring him a new vestment as the boy would grow. So you can imagine our servers are wearing black cassocks. So every year his mom would come and bring him like a new vestment because he grew. So every year she was able to make sure he had good priestly clothing. Huh? And look at the boy today. We know that he's already close to the Lord. How do we know that? He is sleeping in the Holy of Holies. He is sleeping with the Ark of the Covenant. If I were to ever open up those church doors, walk in and find one of our altar boys sleeping in front of the tabernacle, I'd say, what is your problem? You're not supposed to be sleeping there. That would be the equivalent in the temple at Shiloh of what Samuel was doing. He was sleeping in the very Holy of Holies in front of the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God on earth. Men, human beings, did not sleep in such a place. It was the all-holy place, the place where God dwelt in his ark. And yet there's little Samuel sleeping. And while he's there, he begins to hear the voice of God. But he doesn't know it's the voice of God. He thinks it's the voice of Eli. A clear indication, dear friends, whether you like your priests or not, whether the priests are good or not so good, the voice of God is the voice of your priest. Little Samuel, who will become the first prophet of God's people, when he heard God's voice, he thought it was the voice of his priest. And of course, he goes and wakes up the old man. Three times he wakes up Eli. The poor old guy's just trying to take his evening sleep, right? Here's his Samuel. You got called on me? Go back to bed. What are you doing? Second time, a third time. Finally, after the third time, Eli realizes, oh, okay, I know what this is. It took Eli three times to catch on, a clear indication of his negligence in his priestly duties. But after the third time, he knew. He said, okay, look, if this happens again, just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. The fourth time God called on Samuel, he responded. But you notice his response? The rebelliousness of youth. I am reminded of this. Whenever I try to direct young people in the spiritual life, especially when I was in vocations work and I would try to guide a young man to discern the will of God, they always listen and they do whatever they want, huh? Because what did Eli tell Samuel? Say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What did rebellious Samuel do when God called him the fourth time? Speak, your servant is listening. You notice, he forgot Lord. This is why the sacred narrative tells us Samuel did not yet know the ways of the Lord at this time, for God had not yet revealed himself to him. Yeah, the narrative is coming in to explain why this young child is being rebellious. Because God was speaking, dear friends. And of course, what ultimately does Samuel receive? This is the second part no one ever follows up on. Samuel is told that the two priests of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, are going to be struck dead by God because they were bad priests. They took advantage of the women of the temple. They took advantage of the sacrifices of God, and they deprived God's people of the tithe. They were bad priests. And God said to Samuel, I will strike them dead, for they have not served me well. Now, that's the message, right? But today, God is just calling to Samuel. And Samuel doesn't know what's happening. He rightly goes to the priest to ask for counsel. And eventually, when he's given counsel, we find that his heart still needs some conversion in order for him to clearly hear what God is asking. Dear friends, our takeaway from this message today, from the sacred narrative, is that God calls out to each of us. Did you know that? Every day, as members of the baptized, God speaks to us in a dozen different ways. Be kind to this person. Be just in this situation. Go the extra mile. God is constantly speaking to us. We have to slow down, be attentive, stop all the distractions, and listen to what God is saying to us. And then when he asks something of us, we have to remember that the only proper response is, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Not, listen, God, I'm speaking. And not simply, I'm listening, but truly to declare him the Lord of our lives. I am your servant. I will do whatever you ask of me. What do you want me to do? Really, do that? That's going to be really hard or hurtful, or I'm going to really die to myself. I kind of changed. Let me back it up a little bit. I'll give you 80%, right? Or how about 96%, right? No, dear friends, that's not how this works. We have to declare our full discipleship. You speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Good, then go forgive that person. Oof. Die to myself, forgive. Go show kindness to this person. Oh, man, I really don't like that person. Die to myself, show kindness. Do this act of charity. Haven't I already done enough? Die to myself, give more. To constantly listen to what God is asking of us, and then generously, with an unconditional yes, do whatever he asks.